You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger. Hard times. Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger. This week on the show, we are going to really dive into a song called Hard Times by Blind Copy, which was just released on September 1st, and I'm really proud to be a part of. In just a bit, I'm going to tell you about what inspired me to write the lyrics to Hard Times, and as a part of that discussion, we're going to hear from both Josh McLean and Brian Balow. Blind Copy founder Jay Robot is also going to chime in about creating the music for Hard Times, but first things first, let's listen to it. Hard Times is the B-side to the digital single Permanent Collection by Blind Copy. You can find it on Spotify and all digital outlets, plus backtothelight.net or blindcopy.bandcamp.com. This is Hard Times.
You don't sweat, you don't worry, you don't cry.
Now that we've heard the song itself, let's start its story the only place we possibly could, and that's with Blind Copy founder and the primary musical author of Hard Times, Jay Robot.
Honestly, when I make the bass tracks for something that ends up being a Blind Copy song, it's a lot like anything else I've put together. I'll put some basic programming together. Sometimes I'll have sketched it out first on a guitar, but most of the Blind Copy stuff has not been like that. It's been a beat, just a couple of chord progression ideas, maybe some like never intended to be like lead melodies, but like background melodies, just to kind of like weave around behind the bass track. And then I just send it off and see what happens. This one was, I was sort of like putting together the idea for how to do some of my own music live with a very minimal drum program. Because I think when you do backing tracks and you play live, you have a lot more issues with the denser the backing track is. I think it's harder to get the point across, and you just sound like you're playing on top of stuff. It doesn't really sound like it's integrated into the song. So I figured I would start trying to figure out how to make like a more skeletal backing track. And then so while I'm kind of coming up with that template of like that set of sounds, and I'll also sort of just fart around with making new melodies, and I think that's what that was. And then I was getting ready to play a show, I believe, and I sent that over to JD, and I think just in the back of my head, maybe I was thinking a lot about Depeche Mode, the early Depeche Mode stuff, like Everything Counts and everything from like maybe 81 to 83, and so I just kind of we'll share things that we're working on with each other, and it seemed to really inspire him. But there was no actual original, there was no vision on this track whatsoever, which actually made it probably one of the easiest ones to put together. As far as what this as far as how the song turned out, I'm really excited and happy with it. I didn't really, you send this stuff out and you don't really know what you're going to get back. And it's never been, so here's the thing, like, if you send it out to somebody, I'm not going to waste my time sending it out to someone whom I don't, creative instincts or ideas I don't trust. So if I send it out, I know that what I'm going to get back is good. And, you know, as it turned out in the case of this one, you know, it went up to JD. JD was really into it, did some amazing stuff with it, and then he and Matt with Arthur did their thing. And then because I kind of wanted more electronics in it, but I didn't want mine. I wanted it to be, you know, someone else's ideas coming in too. And I've worked with Jimmy Melody Horror on things in the past, and really love his, he and I both really have some strong synth pop leanings, and his Depeche Mode-ish tendencies are right in line with mine. And so while they were working on their part, I said, "Hey, Jimmy, hey," and I sent it over to him. But I knew what I would get back from everybody would be amazing. And it was, it's like one of my favorite songs. I've done quite some time, and, extra nice that I didn't have to write any words or sing it. Yeah, no, I'm really, really happy with it. Really happy.
Thank you, Mr. Robot. Okay, now comes the tricky part. I have purposefully been vague and diplomatic when it comes to discussing the circumstances of losing my job last year due to the pandemic for a myriad of reasons. Fear, embarrassment, and loyalty to my friends that still work there. But it would be dishonest of me to tell you that the song Hard Times isn't about the absolute horror of a man that I used to work for. I won't name him or the place publicly, but I will say that I have never had my spirit crushed in such a way or felt more chewed up and spit out by a person slash place. In the end, the spitting out part turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It got me out of a toxic and hopeless situation that I might not have had the will to leave on my own. But I still live with a significant amount of trauma from everything that happened there. If I wasn't living with it, I wouldn't have been able to write the song. I'm hoping that by releasing it and by talking about it, I can also let go of some of this resentment and ill will, because frankly, it's eating me up. There's a bit more to the story of Hard Times, and thankfully it's the fun part, so stick around. Welcome back. Those of you who know me know that I love pro wrestling. I have my whole life. Little references to it have creeped into my songs before, but in this case, I have to acknowledge the influence of the great Dusty Rhodes, whose legendary Hard Times promo was clearly another source of inspiration behind the lyrics to the Blind Copy song Hard Times, which is out now and you can find at backtothelight.net, Bandcamp, Spotify, or anywhere you stream music, shameless plug. I would love to just play you the audio of Dusty Rhodes here for context, but we keep things legit here on the Back to the Light podcast, and I don't have permission for that. If you want to watch it on YouTube, it's easy to find. Just search for Dusty Rhodes Hard Times, and several options will pop right up. What I do have for you is even more special. Courtesy of Toby Vest and Hilo Recording in Memphis, here is comedian, sandwich king, and the drummer for Heels, Josh McClain, performing Hard Times by Dusty Rhodes.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was Starrcade 85 is to wrestling fans, is to Jim Crockett Promotions and to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. With that wait, I got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a whole lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect. No honor. There is no honor amongst thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids, can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work. They tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked a job for 30 years, 30 years, and they give him a watch, kick him in the butt and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy, that's hard times. That's hard times. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard times. And we all had hard times together. And I admit, I don't look like the athlete I'm supposed to look. My belly's a little big. My hiney's a little big. But brother, I am bad. And they know I'm bad. There are two bad people. One with John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion, belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for the gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in the universe, all over the world now, reaching out because the love that was given to me in this time, I will repay you now because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on these hard time blues. Dusty Rhodes Tour, 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world, and that's the world's heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man upstairs that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see the real world champion. And I'm proud of you. Thank God I have you. And I love you. I love you.
Wow. Thank you, Josh McClain. Next up, to chat with me about the legacy of Dusty Rhodes and the Hard Times promo, he's the co-host of the You Look Like a Comedy Show podcast and a pro wrestling enthusiast slash expert. Here's Brian Balow. Brian, thanks for joining me on the show.
Man, happy to be here. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. I want to start by asking you to describe for the audience, for context, I guess, the Dusty Rhodes blue-collar common man character.
Dusty Rhodes, it's a son of a plumber, like one of the most endearing wrestling characters of all time. He was a strong big man. He could definitely put a beating on you, but he wasn't the traditional shape. He wasn't a svelte-cut, beefy man. He was a bit of a hoss to himself. had a reputation for drinking, but on top of that, just as a character, really one of the best baby faces out there as far as endearing to a term that's used with him often, the common man.
What about him do you think made him so beloved? Like, as you said, despite not being built like Hulk Hogan, and also, I mean, he also had a fairly pronounced lisp, which is not common in pro wrestling. I would think of those as disadvantages, but he was utterly beloved.
I mean, but that's the factors that made him utterly beloved. I mean, the fact that he wasn't the traditional shape, the fact that he wasn't, you know, playing a rich, well-off character, the fact that he had that lisp to him, he really resonated and relayed with the people. I mean, not to mention the fact that he's just a natural talker. I mean, you could listen to this promo or you could listen to any of his promos, and he always engaged everybody, and he found a way to gather the audience in and really make them feel like they were part of him. And, you know, that's the thing that he always preached over the years, was that, you know, breaking kayfabe, you know, he wanted the audience to believe what he was doing. If he bled, they bled. If, you know, if he was hurting, they were hurting. And if he was making a comeback, they were a big part of that comeback. So, I mean, once again, in the promo in question, that crowd does not stop chattering in the entirety of it. It's not because they're not interested. It's because they like that guy so much.
Well, let's talk about the promo specifically. Why do you think Hard Times is still so beloved and so memorable to this day?
Because it's, I hate to keep using the term relatable, but because it's relatable. I mean, look at any part of the country, look at any part of the world. There's people that are out there struggling, whether it's from recent natural disasters to legalities of how your state government is running things, or even just from the fact that you're getting paid below an actual living minimum wage to get by. You know, that character still exists, and that character still can resonate to people, even in Dusty's passing. I mean, going back and listening to this, it was about him coming out and having a score to settle with Ric Flair, who had laid him out and injured him, the response of the people supporting him, and him coming back and saying that, I appreciate your support, I won't forget this, and I'm going to bring it back to you. And it gave the people someone to believe in, someone to fight for, that seemed to be in a very similar situation that he's at. And that never really goes away.
How important was Dusty to establishing and building the legacy of arguably the most famous wrestler of all time, Ric Flair?
I mean, countless battles. I mean, not to diminish anything Dusty did, you have to look at a lot of Ric Flair's career. I mean, even, you know, his battles with Ricky Steamboat, I would say, played a big part in establishing Ric Flair. But if you want to talk about, in my personal opinion, the best Ric Flair, which is heel Ric Flair, once again, Ricky Steamboat, great babyface, but once again, look no further than Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, the common man, the man of the people that's coming back after Ric Flair, you know, the man that has millions of dollars, rides limousines, rides jet planes, and is absolutely cocky and confident, and take that same mentality of someone who is just as cocky and just as confident, but also far more grounded and far more stable in what they believe in. I personally feel like there's a lot of good Ric Flair feuds out there, but Dusty Rhodes is that penultimate baby face for this. Like, he was the man that really tied all this together. There are great baby faces that paired off with Ric Flair, but I mean, look no further than good old Dusty Rhodes to be that man that was that perfect shining baby face to combat Ric Flair.
When you listen to Hard Times or you watch it now, how does it make you feel, just on an emotional level? Because I know the damn thing still gives me goosebumps.
It's always a great one. I mean, I'll be brutally honest. Like, I've heard it dozens of times over. I couldn't quote it word for word, but it's one that always sticks with me. And we had kind of previously talked about it a little bit. You know, it's on that list that I have of these promos that you could hear over and over again and never really get tired of. And whether it's because it's something funny or something serious or something that resonates with you personally, it's one of those that just stands out as one of the most honest and engulfing promos out there. You know, the fact that it started out as something of him and his feud with Ric Flair brought it upon the people that were in the same boat. I feel what you feel what I feel, and basically saying that they're involved in it just ties the whole thing together, and it stands out as one of the greatest promos ever done.
Did you have a chance to listen to the song?
I did have a chance to listen to the song.
So, okay.
Katrina sat on the patio and listened to it.
So tell me, did I do it justice?
You did it justice. I wish I could do a better Dusty Rhodes impression, because I joked about it with Katrina a little bit, and I was like, I just want to tell him that you don't know how to sweat, Daddy. You don't know how to cry, Daddy. You don't know how to worry, Daddy. And that's a terrible, terrible Dusty Rhodes, but I did the best that I could for it. But no, we both enjoyed the song.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Last question. How bummed are you not to be in Chicago this weekend?
About as bummed as I was about two weekends ago when I wasn't in Chicago. I'm real upset. Like, part of me is glad to be staying hunkered down as things are kind of on the uptick and we're trying to keep, you know, the kids around here safe and everything. But there's a little part of me that wanted to grab that plane ticket and go out to Chicago. I mean, CM Punk's in-ring return, potential Bryan Danielson return. So that's two of my favorites right there. And the potential of Chris Jericho retiring, which will make MJF get pushed to the top. But also, Chris Jericho's never going to retire. Like, he's gonna retire for 6 months when he goes on tour with Fozzy, but he's gonna find a loophole back into that. But
I was gonna say, maybe he'll just like Macho Man retire and do commentary for a couple of years and then come back again.
He's getting up there. He's 50, but he's still got some gas in the tank.
I mean, Sting is what, 62 or something? Jeez.
No, they can both keep at it as long as they want. Fun fact, real quick, not to like interrupt the format here. I saw an interesting factoid the other day. CM Punk right now is the same age as Hulk Hogan was when Hulk Hogan started the NWO. They're both 42 years old.
Oh, wow. That's how old I am also.
You could start a revolution as well.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe that's what we're doing now.
Now you just got to cover Cult of Personality.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure to be here. Always happy to see your, you know, smiling face and also talk a little wrestling. Good to see you, bud.
To close things down, let's listen to the A-side of the Hard Times single. This song features Chris Connolly from the legendary bands Ministry, Revolting Cox, Pigface, and more on lead vocals, plus members of Bellhead, the Joy Thieves, J-Robot, and myself. This is Permanent Collection. We'll be right back. That's the show. Thank you to Jay Robot, Brian Baylow, Josh McClain, and Toby Vest. Thank you to Arthur with two H's for the opening theme. Thank you to Joey Pegram for the closing theme. Thank you for listening. For music, news, and episode archives, visit backtothelight.net. And until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light Podcast Network at backtothelight.net.